The day of the Lord is near, brothers and sisters. How near, we don't know. Through the prophet, the Lord speaks today to Jerusalem, to Judea, tells them to shut up and listen, to pay close attention because the day is at hand. The day of which he's speaking right there isn't that day that we're still looking forward to, the day that we prepare for here, especially in the last few Sundays of the church year and on into the Advent season with the return of the Lord in glory, but rather this day is his day of judgment. Judgment on Jerusalem, judgment on Judah, judgment on those nations that surround them, judgment on people who sin against him in thought, in word, and in deed. And he's not shy about saying what's going to happen. So the prophet provides us an introduction. Be silent. That day is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. Which means those who he invites, he has made holy. He has prepared. But what about the rest of them? What about those who refuse the invitation, as we've been hearing in the previous weeks? The ones who show up to the wedding without the right garment. The ones who don't show up at all. He talks then about punishing the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire, those who leap over the threshold, and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud, those who are trying to be like the other nations around them. That was one thing God had commanded Israel from a very early time. Don't be like the Canaanites. Don't be like the Moabites. Don't be like the Edomites. Be my people. Wear what I tell you to wear, eat what I tell you to eat, act the way I tell you to act. Period. End of discussion. And they always did that so well, didn't they? We don't have the clothing restrictions that Israel had. We don't have the dietary restrictions. But we still are commanded by the Lord to be holy, to be faithful in thought and word and in deed, and we also fail. Those who are in foreign attire, those who are trying to be like Egypt or Babylon or others are going to be in trouble. And everyone who leaps over the threshold, that's kind of an obscure thing, especially if you aren't in our study of Judges a while back, comes from the time of Samson. When they hauled the statue of the Philistine god, or they hauled the ark rather, after it was stolen in front of the Philistine god, and the god fell over in his temple. So they propped it back up, and stone statue bows down. Finally, that statue falls against the threshold of their temple and breaks. So from that time on, Philistine priests and those who worshipped the Philistine gods wouldn't step on that threshold. They would step over. They would skip over it. And this is a warning to those who are worshipping false gods in and among the people of Israel. Those who, whether it's worshipping this one or Baal or others, are not worshiping in spirit and truth the true God, the one who had called them, the one who had made them his, the one who had led their people out of Egypt with the mighty arm, the outstretched hand, the one who parted the Red Sea and gave them Sinai and everything that came with that. And he's going to punish all of those who are worshiping falsely, who give in to what the society around them says and does, the ones who cheat the Lord in their prayers and their gifts. And, of course, those who are just out-and-out rascals and scoundrels, filling their master's house with violence and fraud. Common, run-of-the-mill, everyday criminals, gross sinners, who can't wait to fill their pockets and to indulge their wishes. And then the Lord starts describing what's going to be going on and pronounces woe on all the people in the area, picks out different parts of Jerusalem, says that, oh, up there in the hills, you're going to get it too. There's no getting away from it. And the complacent ones. You say, well, I'm not worshiping Dagon or Baal or Asherah or any of those. I'm not out wreaking violence on other people. I'm not actively committing fraud or adultery or any other sin that I can think of. But the complacent ones, the ones who just sit around and let things happen, the Lord warns them also. The ones who say, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. The ones who are basically saying, the Lord wound everything up and set it in motion, and now he's just sitting back watching it. The ones who forget that God is actively and intimately involved in human history, not just back in Bible times, but here and now. Still, the Lord intervenes. The Lord works miracles. The Lord guides and blesses, and the Lord also condemns and prevents. The Lord will do, contrary to what we might think, the way we might act. The Lord will have His way, and He will bring both blessing and woe according to who needs which. The way He talks about it, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I'm going to go door to door looking in. Any complacent people hiding in here? Any people who think I'm not going to bless, who think I'm not going to curse? See this light? Come out here. Come see the judgment that I have for you because you refuse to listen to me. Because you refuse to keep my commandments. Because you refuse to act like one of my children. Years later, one of the Greek philosophers was running around, I believe, Athens with a lamp in broad daylight. What are you doing there? Well, I'm looking for an honest man. Well, he could have almost been stealing the Lord's line right here. Day and night, the Lord is looking for an honest man and woman. He's looking for a faithful man and woman. He's looking for children who listen to the Lord and who follow in His ways. He is looking for people who love Him and who love other people. People who have something and give something to those who don't. Whether it's having faith and trust in Jesus and giving Jesus to them. Whether it's having more financial resources they need and giving that to those in need, whether it's stopping to help those whose property is falling apart, whose vehicle isn't running the way it could and should, and they need to get to one place or another. But most of all, those who are clinging to every promise, every woe, and every blessing that the Lord pronounces, knowing that there will come a day, there will come a final reckoning, there will be that final light that shines. Not just the Lord peeking around in the shadows of our individual homes and our individual hearts, but a light that covers the entire world, a light that we already live in by faith, says Paul, but a light shining when our Lord comes down from heaven in glory, a light that will terrify sinners, but a light that will invite all who believe to come to Him and to be with Him forever and ever. The Lord will do that, and before then, He will intervene. The Lord won't let you live forever and ever. He usually doesn't give you one last chance. You got 30 seconds to live. You better get right with me. No. He demands that you be ready all the time. That you be faithful all the time. That you receive His word all the time. That you come to His supper whenever it's offered. That you open your mouth to receive Jesus that way. You open your ears to receive Jesus that way. And then with your ears you hear the needs of your neighbor. And with your mouth and with your hands, you meet that need, whatever it might be. Because the Lord will do. We know He's patient. We know that He lets people have chance after chance, but we know that finally all the chances will be exhausted. Whether they are our own personal ones or whether they are the final chance of this entire world. There will be a day when there will be no more running to Jesus for help and hope and comfort. Because Jesus will either be with us or He will be against us. The Lord will do that. He's not saying, well, I'm not going to do anything good because I can't really see any good that they need. And I'm not going to do anything bad because they're just not worth it. No, He will invite those who love Him, who know Him, who believe in Him, who have followed, who have served, who have kept His word. Those, even if they have done it halfway, fittingly, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then a whole lot of nothing. But those who have tried to let His word come out of them as it has come into them. Because the Lord knows that we aren't going to keep His commandments perfectly. The Lord knows that we are not always going to love our neighbor as ourselves any more than we always have trust in Him. But the Lord does forgive us. And He is active doing that right now. But for those who think there is no judgment, those who think that it can be delayed, those who think, I've got time, they may not. And complacency is one of the worst enemies that the church and the Christians have. Because there will be that great and glorious day of the Lord. Not a day when Babylon attacks, not a day when the Assyrians attack, not a day when they are hauled off into captivity, but rather a day when judgment is pronounced. And we either come to the Lord or we flee Him. Because the Lord will do good and the Lord will do ill according to what He decides to do. And if you want to receive good from the Lord, then receive the good that He has for you now. Don't try earning His favor, but take the favor He has already given you. He has given you Jesus. He has dressed you in your baptismal garment. He looks at you and sees Jesus. Why would you exchange that for anything else? And having Jesus poured over you in baptism and into you in word and sacrament, why would you not then live like Jesus, love like Jesus, care like Jesus? Of course, probably not working miracles of healing and of resurrection, but still working kindness, reconciliation, because the Lord will do. The Lord will do to you not as you deserve if you're faithful, but rather as Christ deserved. But if you are complacent, if you are doing it just to go through the motions, to be like everybody else. If your faith is not resting in Christ, then you will not have any rest at all in the judgment. Because the Lord will finally do ill. The pictures Jesus has of the outer darkness, of the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, belongs not to those who keep God's word perfectly, but those who reject God's word. The ones who are inside at the wedding feast, enjoying the party that never ceases, they're the ones who believe that Jesus suffered and died for them. Poor, miserable sinners that they were. Worms and not men, as the psalmist says. All of the other descriptions of what we are by nature, covered over, replaced by the love of God in Christ Jesus, by forgiveness and life in Him. That good the Lord is already doing in you. And you can do nothing better than to receive that good with thanksgiving and pass it on to those in need. Because you're never going to run out. God will always pour more in. God will always love you. God will always serve you and care for you. And He will ask you then to always love and serve and care in His name those who have need. The day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. How fast is anyone's guess? But God knows, and God knows when your last day is. And God knows you and wants you to be there before Him on that last day, ready to meet Him and greet Him and celebrate with Him forever and ever. Be faithful unto death, the Lord says, and I will give you a crown of life. Don't think that God's not paying attention, that He's not listening, that He's not watching, and that He's not doing, because He is. And ask Him to do what you need for this life and also for the life yet to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus.